Welcome back to the program. Darcy McDonald, very shortly, the number one seed over there at NRL, at Fox Sports, NRL reporter. Jimmy, I'd have a beer with David Warner and ask him, why is he such an A-grade? Now, Daisy, come on. Look, that's well within the rules of this talk topic today. So thank you, David, Daisy. G'day, Jimmy. Why would they play Cummins if he's even slightly injured? They are off their heads. Swivel, I think you're right. I think I'm from the same school as you. Let's go to Darcy McDonald, as I say, the number one seed over there in Fox Sports NRL reporters. G'day, Darce.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm really well. I don't know whether you drink beer, but I'm going to ask you that question. Whatever drink of your choice, who's the sports person that you've either met or you've admired that you'd love to sit down and have a beer with? And you can ask them one question.
Well, I've met them. I don't particularly admire them, I guess. But I'd love to have a beer at the moment with Mitchell Moses and his manager, and then ask him what's he doing with his contract situation and what's it going to take to join the Bulldogs.
Well, there you go. That's an ulterior motive. That's fantastic. So that all works.
Take advantage of the situation.
Exactly. Before we get to that, I want to Isaiah Papali'i. Stop press, Darcy. Contracted player turns up an honest contract at training session. Although I don't think he's training just yet, Isaiah. He's still got a bit of time off. This seems to have played out for a long, long time, but he is going to end up at the Tigers, which is great for all West fans.
Yeah, great scenes for the Tigers players to see him turn up before he's due back. I don't think he's due back till training until early January because he's earned a well-deserved break after the World Cup and a long season with the Eels. But yes, after that doubt that he had earlier in the year about possibly backflipping on his deal after Mark Maguire got sacked, it did play out for a long time, but he committed and he turned up on Monday, checked out in West Tigers gear, said hello to everyone, introduced himself and whatnot, and then toured the Centre of Excellence. And he said he hasn't seen anything like it. So that's really, really good signs. He's excited, as he said, he'll freshen up. I think he's going back to New Zealand for Christmas to spend it with family, and he'll come back fresh and ready to rip in with the Tigers at this fabulous Centre of Excellence that's clearly impressed him. So Tigers fans can sleep easy.
In fairness, Darcy, if Benji Marshall, the great Benji Marshall, can't get him to commit to the Tigers, then no one can, right?
Absolutely, and Kiwis legend.
Yes.
And NRL rugby league legend. Exactly. If he can't persuade Isaiah Papali'i, it was no chance. But Benji's got such a great hold on every play. Everyone grew up looking up to him. So he got him over the line, and of course he did. It's Benji.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So from one NRL legend to a Super League legend, Leon Price's young bloke Will. And Kai Pierce-Paul, who is a very well-credentialed player, have both signed for Newcastle. This is big signings. I know they're not there till 2024, but this is a real shot in the arm for Adam O'Brien and the Newcastle Knights, Stas.
It is, because it shows the club's got pulling power, because both of these players have been on the radar of multiple NRL clubs. They're considered the next big things in the Super League, and Kai Pierce-Paul's already kind of making a name for himself. He represented England in the World Cup. He's dubbed, the UK's SBW. He's only young, but he's huge. I think he's just under 2 metres and tips over 100 kilos. Really skillful second rower. And then Will Price, he's also really skillful, can play fullback or 5/8. So it's massive for Adam O'Brien, massive for the Knights. Like I said, it shows they have pulling power to be able to get those two guys over. It's exciting. They've had success with Dom Young coming over from England. So it's a recruitment plan that's working for them, and it's exciting. A shame they have to wait till 2024, but the two boys, they'll continue growing over in the Super League, boost their confidence even more, and they'll come to Australia that little bit older and more mature and ready to go.
So the other part about it that I recognise is now that with the salary cap's going to go to 12.5 million or whatever, which is an increase of about 20%, so that's certainly not happening over there in the Super League. The more you look at it, the more that the Super League becomes like a training ground, a feeder comp for the National Rugby League.
Yep.
And the opportunity that exists, or certainly did exist, for the NRL to take control and get an equity stake in Super League, I think makes so much sense, Darcy. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%, because a lot you see, like, it's basically considered the Super League. It's nowhere near the quality of the NRL. It's the quality of a really good, say, New South Wales Cup game. Because they're essentially, you see a lot of our fringe players from the NRL go over to the Super League and they kill it. You know, Jackson Hastings was, you know, on the outer, went over there and killed it. Brody Croft went over there and killed it. A lot of these players go over there and they kind of reinvent themselves, and it's because the quality is lower. But it's an opportunity for fringe players to go over there, get more game time. New Brown, another good example, went over there and, you know, kicked off his career again. And then again, in vice versa, you've got the young players that are coming through that are real standouts over there, like these two young boys that are going to the Knights. And it's an opportunity for the NRL to look to broaden, I guess, their talent pool, because they're, you know, more clubs are going to start looking overseas as well. When you've got players like Price and Pierce Paul coming through, and they can, you know, go and grab them while they're young. I love it. I wish there was more. I think there's some tight rules in place with the Super League where you have to play. You either have to have an English background, or you have to have played, I think, half of your career games in the NRL to be able to get over there.
Yes.
There's some tweaks, some rules, and I wish they were a little bit looser, because I know there's so many fringe players after covering New South Wales Cup sideline for the last couple of years that would love to get over there and get some game time and exposure, but they don't quite meet the quota. So I'd love to see those rules loosen a little bit, but I don't know how the English officials would feel about that with all the Aussie stars flooding them.
Yeah, I think from a visa point of view, you have to be able to do a job that a local can't do. So that's where it gets really tricky, where you say, oh, okay, are you good enough to be able to say that you can do something that a local can't do? So that's the interesting part about getting a working visa over there in the UK. Tigers, Bulldogs, Eels, they're the three clubs we keep hearing about for Mitch Moses. Thoughts? What's the latest on that one, Das?
I really don't know. This one is, it's stumped me. I really don't know what he's going to do. I felt pretty confident that he was going to re-sign with the Eels, but the longer it takes, it makes me a little bit nervous for Eels fans. You know, like I said earlier, I hope he signs with the Bulldogs, because, you know, a halfback of that caliber could be huge for the club. I can't see him going back to the Tigers. I think they would have to throw a lot of money. I think that's kind of dead and buried, that era of his life. Even though he's, you know, still best mates with Luke Brooks, and that reunion could happen, and Benji and whatnot. But I can't see that happening. But I do think it's going to take a long time before we get a decision between Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses. I just get the feeling that maybe their managers have advised them, take your time and wait and see what the other person does. You know, because if Dylan Brown leaves, the Eels are going to have to throw even more money at Moses and vice versa. So
yes.
I think it's a bit of a waiting game between both parties. And I don't think we'll get an answer until the new year, to be honest.
So we talked about it yesterday. So Latrell Mitchell and Damian Cook and Cody Walker are all off contract at the same time as well with the Rabbitohs.
Yep.
We hear nothing about that. So how, at what point does it then become a distraction for Brad Arthur and his Parramatta Eels?
Yeah, well, Moses and Brown are still on holiday. So for them, it's, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
I think if I were the Eels, I would say we need an answer before you arrive for pre-season in the new year, because then it is a bit of a distraction. But for now, they've probably told them, enjoy your break, put your feet up, but think about your futures. Yeah, and like I said, if I was the Eels, come in with an answer. But the thing is with Mitchell Moses, he's got a player option for 2024. He's off contract, yes, but it's a player option. So he doesn't have to tell the club until round 10 next season. So he doesn't have to tell them. But again, yes, it does become a distraction, because if it is a bit of a waiting game between the two of them, then we could be waiting until round 10 to get an answer. And that's not good.
You know what it's like, Darcy. You turn up at okay, who's doing the all-in? Oh, Mitch Moses is doing the all-in. The first four questions about the contract situation. So becomes very much a distraction. All right, great distraction from you today. Thank you. There you go, Mitch Moses. We're having a drink with Mitch to get some clarification about what's happening with his contract beyond that. Thank you for that. And we will speak again next week, Darcy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Chat to you then.
Darcy McDonald there, Fox Sports NRL reporter. Lots of text messages coming in here too. Hey, Jimmy, I'd be having a beer with the great SK Warn and just sitting and listening to his stories away from the field. What a life he lived. Still pulls me up at least once a week when I remember. It's nearly summer now and we won't hear him on any of the coverage. Very sad. Black Stump Hill. Yeah, it was a bit different, wasn't it? I wasn't the biggest Warnie fan as a commentator, but tell you what, you noticed that he wasn't there over the course of this test match. Keep those coming in. We've got the news now. After that, we're back with a Watch Trending with Coach K. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.